Pleased to be joined now by a couple dudes from Inside Texas. Of course, Justin Wells, who I just mentioned, but also Ian Boyd, first time on the Midday Show. Guys, thank you so much for the time. Ian, we'll start with you first. How are things going today?
It's pretty nice. I came all the way from Michigan, so the weather here is not so great, but it's really nice in this facility. I've never been here before. It's
came like here from Michigan. Is Michigan where you live?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I never realized that before. Huh.
You would never know from the internet age where people are blogging from.
It pretty much seems like you're on the sidelines each and every practice, each and every game as well, and I guess that's a testament to the job that you do. Let's start with the offensive line, Ian. We just had Patrick Vahe on the show. He seems pretty confident that this is going to be a better group in 2018. Texas fans need it to be for the offense to take a step forward. How confident are you in this offensive line being better than they have been the last couple of years, and why?
I think for a unit in the Big 12 and in football in general, the saying that you're only as strong as your weakest link is a very, very holds very true. Texas had two weak links often last year, sometimes three. You could, with you know, McMillan playing with a club on his hand, and you know, everybody had to play whether they were, you know, 100% or not. This year they have that Calvin Anderson from Rice stepping in at left tackle. If he's even average, that's a boost to this offensive line. You have your left guard, your center, and your right tackle all getting 1 year better with McKnight and now with Herpan guiding the show. And then right guard was a huge issue last year between McMillan in and out with injury, and then Cooney doing the best he could.
That's a good way to put it.
Now they get Rodriguez back. So just from having a unit that is going to probably be able to put five average players are better on the field at all times, it makes an enormous difference.
Well, I'll ask Justin, I'll go to you here with this one, sort of a follow-up. Offensive line injuries are inevitable, right? It just happens. I get really annoyed when people say, well, if they have one injury on the offensive line, they're in trouble. Well, that's going to happen, so that means they're in trouble. We saw that last year. Connor Williams, the All-American candidate, goes down, and the Texas offensive line struggles pretty much all year long. Do you think this group, with some incoming freshmen, with, as Ian mentioned, Calvin Anderson coming into the fold, Mikey Grandy, the JUCO transfer, do you think this group can sustain an injury or two and still be serviceable up front?
Absolutely. Whenever you have depth, and that's the main thing when you talk about the offensive and defensive lines, it's depth. And that really starts as freshmen, because ideally those are the two main positions, both those lines of the scrimmage, where you want to redshirt. They need to develop. They need to grow and to learn the systems. Last year, and actually the last few years, Texas has had to kind of makeshift their offensive lines. When Charlie was there, and of course, in Tom's first year, and when Connor went down, it was almost like cutting the head off the snake. That was their left tackle, their blind side, their main thing. And so the depth is a lot better this year, simply because the guys that Herman brought in last year, your Derek Kerstetters, Sam Cosmes, and then the guys that they signed, the junior Engelau, Mikey Grandy, like you said, the JUCO, and then Calvin Anderson. I mean, what a blessing that guy could be if he tackles that left tackle spot. And so the depth is so much better now than I can see in the last 6 or 7 years. Maybe Max last year was the last time that looked like there was a little bit of depth. And so the more depth you have there, Herb Hand is a very big proponent of cross training guys, and that's where the injuries would help. Like if somebody goes down, Herb Hand is doing a lot of that this spring with cross training. You know, trying Kerstetter at right tackle, also left guard and at center. You know, trying different guys in different spots. And so as long as if those guys are cross trained and there's more depth and you're building and you're redshirting those guys, it'll only get better. And I think Herb Hand is the best technician for this group. Like it's the perfect match. Herman found the right guy, because if you don't protect Sam Ellinger and Shane Bouchel, we may have a relapse of last year, and I think that's going to be the difference this year, at least for the offense.
Talking Longhorn football with a couple of Inside Texas guys, Justin Wells, Ian Boyd as well. Ian, I wanted to ask you about the running back position. It seems like it's going to be a by-committee approach. Tom Herman pretty much said as much on stage. What does each guy do well enough, and what is that role going to be for each of the main running backs on this team right now, game one of the 2018 season?
Well, the heart of the offense is inside zone play, where the back is going play side A-gap to cut back.
So, and A-gap is, for people that don't know,
just off the center.
Okay.
So it's downhill all the way. You're hitting it just running behind a double team, running behind the tight end, which will also be better this year. Daniel Young does that well.
Mm-hmm.
He's not super explosive, but he hits the cutback hard. He drags people. He can get that 3 to 5 yards that you expect that play to get consistently in every situation. I think Trey Watson is maybe a little more explosive. He's experienced with that play. I think they expect him to probably mostly be a change of pace guy and a guy that just adds depth to make sure that they don't go over a cliff. Carter has a lot of upside in this offense, but as everyone has seen, he fumbles. I think they would love for him to be able to win the job, and they can't trust him. And then after that, you have Kyle Porter, who's
he tries.
Solid. He's solid in there. He's he's not going to do more than the play blocks for, and the play didn't block for very much last year, so that's what you got. Chris Warren was not a great fit for this, and they should be better overall than they were last year, but I don't know if they have that difference maker unless Ingram is ready to come in and light the world on fire.
Do you foresee Ingram being good at that primary run play that you just described for us?
Oh, and Carthage was all about it.
They were. Okay,
so
that's great.
He's no stranger to the, read and cut, and he also has both the power and the willingness to run between the tackles and also the ability to get outside if people lose contain. He's ideal for this system. It's just a matter of when will his weight and his experience in the college game versus 4A high school football allow him to be a feature back.
Ian, we've asked Justin this question before on the show, so I want to get your take on it. Look, the running back position, I mean, 2 years ago you had Deontay Foreman who went to the Doak Walker Award, rushes for 2,000 yards. There's no debate who the main running back was, and that dude was getting the ball early and often. Last year, I mean, the leading rusher on this team was the backup quarterback in Sam Ehlinger. Does this team need... No one's going to have a Deontay Foreman like here on this offense, but does this team need one running back to step up and take control over this job like Deontay did 2 years ago, or can they be successful as a rushing unit in sort of a back-by-committee style format?
I think by-committee will be okay, partly because Sam Ehlinger is basically a running back in the system at times, and particularly in short yardage. If you look back at Ohio State when Tom Herman had JT Barrett, he would run inside zone for JT Barrett when they had to pick up third and three or whatever, and it was automatic because you use the quarterback, you motion the running back out wide, you get an extra man. You just have to have a quarterback that knows how to run the play and will run through people to pull it off. Obviously, Ehlinger is that. They used him in that way some last year, and I think they're gonna do it a lot. So Texas fans better buckle up and be ready to watch that guy get hit more.
Oh boy, that bodes well because Sam Ehlinger is a good physical runner, but it also seems like that's going to lead to more injuries as well. I don't know. We'll find out about that one. But then again, that's why they have made every effort possible to keep Shane Buechele in the fold, because if this offensive line is playing better, if they're able to establish that running game, Buechele's going to look like a different quarterback if he can go off of play action a little bit more, right?
Yeah. I mean, but they would run Buechele last year when he was – per
That's
Herman just
too.
Now the only scholarship quarterback that was ready to go. So this
is
just
too.
This is just how he does it. He runs the quarterback. Herman has done the math in his head. He knows that's a way to win, and he's going to do it.
Now, I wanted to ask about the wide receiver group also, because for me, and I think BK to a degree, it seems obvious that at times, if Texas lines up with three or four wide, they need to have LJ Humphrey and also Colin Johnson on the same side of the field at the same time, because if you're going to double Colin Johnson, that leaves somebody lesser to defend somebody who's maybe as, if not more, explosive than LJ Humphrey. Is that feasible in this offense to have LJ Humphrey playing the slot with Colin Johnson on the same side?
I don't know how often they're going to put him on the same side. That's probably something they'll mix in as like a third and long overload type strategy. Overall, though, also, I mean, LGH is basically going to be like a flex tight end in the offense this year.
Okay.
Where it's going to be, are they going to send a safety down to double LGH, throw it outside to Colin? Are they going to leave the safety, both safeties back to get help over on Colin Johnson? Well, now you got LGH on a linebacker or a nickel, and they're either too slow or too small. It should be a really lethal pairing, even if they're not on the same side.
Okay.
Justin, your thoughts on the weapons. Obviously, if the offensive line doesn't give whoever wins the quarterback job time to throw the football, it's not going to matter. But I think it's a relatively deep and experienced group at wide receiver. We know Colin Johnson and LJ Humphrey have the ability to be breakout players in 2018. And also the tight end spot. And we touched on this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you've got some experience. You actually have some depth there for the first time in a while. What's your take on all the weapons that whoever wins this quarterback battle is going to have this year?
Well, I'll first say, you know, having Ellinger for a second year is the biggest thing, because the game's going to slow down for him. So he's going to – those weapons were there last year. It's just a lot of times, you know, the play would break down or he wouldn't have protection, so he had to kind of ad-lib. This year, he's going to be more comfortable. And last year with the injury to Andrew Beck during fall camp was – detrimental, because that guy, there's a lot of what, you know, in 12 personnel that Herman loves to run, there's a lot of the tight end usage. You know, there's going to be a lot of times where he's on one side and Cade Brewer, Malcolm Epps, Reese Littell, you know, somebody like that's going to be on the other side. And so you're automatically upgraded there with two quality tight ends. That depth and that tight end room has jumped and doubled in the last 12 months, and that's tremendous. At receiver, you really want to see Colin Johnson break out. I mean, if you've seen the guy in practice and if you've seen him, do the combine style things, Colin is a freak. He's 6'6". He can do backflips and catch a football. He leaps. He jumps. He's got incredible flexibility. But we haven't seen it translate fully on the field. We've seen glimpses. We've seen West Virginia 2 years ago. We saw USC last year when he abused all-conference Jack Jones. We need to see consistency out of Colin Johnson to really utilize those weapons. Little Jordan Humphrey is probably the best. I'm going to say probably the best offensive weapon in the program. He's that versatile to where he can run some of the ball. He can play in the slot. He can play some Z. And at the same time, he can also play quarterback. I mean, in last year against Tech, he had a quarterback pass to Sam Ellinger that really started off that drive as well. And so guys that haven't really been mentioned that I think people need to pay attention to is Devin Duvernay. They've put a lot of focus on that guy in the spring. And him and Ellinger and Bouchel have really kind of made him a priority to make sure, because he's got elite speed and body control. He's like a mini Quan Cosby. The guy is the total package. He just has to find his fit in his role, and I think they found that this spring. There was a lot of practices that we got to see that you saw Devin Duvernay get this guy beat or go on a wheel route like he did his freshman year where he was unguardable. And so guys like Devin Duvernay, Gerard Hurd, and even a Davion Curtis, Once Ellinger gets, you know, comfortable in his skin and he gets the game starts to slow down for him, Colin Johnson has a breakout, Humphrey gets utilized in each spot, Duvernay kind of starts to come into his own, then you're going to see the offense start having fun. And if you just – the offense just has to be good, because we know what Todd Orlando's going to do on defense. And we know, you know, Tom Herman said a while ago they were missing 8 guys on the defensive side of the ball, and they shut down one of the best offenses in the country in Missouri in the Texas Bowl. Mm-hmm. Just fill in the blanks with those guys, with the returners. And so just as long as the offense is good and that defense keeps, you know, par for the course, I think that's where you're going to see actually the utilization of those guys.
Guys, before we get to the defensive side of the ball, I did want to ask about one guy on the offense who is now a member of the offense, who came in as a member of the defense. That's DeShawn Jameson. He is now considered a wide receiver, apparently. Do you think that this leads to him actually getting a little bit more playing time than he would have in 2018 otherwise? Start with you, Ian.
Well, I think they are rightfully worried about what kind of year Lil Jordan Humphrey might have this season, and needing depth behind him, both if he moved on to the NFL after this year, or anyways, just if he was injured or something. There's not a lot behind him right now, and there's a lot of opportunity for the next slot to play that playmaking position that gets a lot of touches, and so they need talent there. They need athletes there, and Jameson is that.
Absolutely. Jameson is, you know, and Herman even mentioned just a while ago, you know, he's going to be playing both. They've got him working at both spots. They've got him working at the slot. They've got him working on some nickel. But they saw a need at the slot because Jameson brings elite dynamicism. He is dynamite. This guy, and especially in the kick return and punt return game. But when you've got guys that, with his speed, he's one of the second or third fastest players in the program already.
Wow.
He's already up to 190 pounds. He looked tremendous when I saw him coaching at the Prime 21 camp on Saturday at Arlington Martin. This guy is, you just see him, and you see him with the ball in his hands, and that's the type of elite athletes that you see Alabamas and the Georgias and the Clemsons. They have those little guys that are versatile, but also add that plus athlete recipe to it. And so right now I think his biggest impact is going to be on kick return and punt return, but you have to throw him over there on the offense simply because he's going to be hard to catch. If you've watched any of his senior tape, I mean, it's a highlight reel that, you know, ravels Sam McGuffey and Noel Devine. I mean, the kid is electric, and that's what Texas coaches are paid to do, put the right guys in the right spots to make the right plays.
Yep. Just a couple more for you guys. Just curious, you guys were here for Tom Herman's press conference, state of Texas football, if you will, here at Big Big 12 Media Days. Anything, we'll start with you, Ian. Anything stick out? Something that really grabbed your attention, maybe surprised you a little bit from what Tom Herman had to say this morning?
Not really, but you can tell he's savvy just with he spent time talking about their weight gains, their strength gains. He just turned his section of the presser into an advertisement for the Tom Herman Texas football
program. He had the longest introductory statement of any coach by far.
It was smart because he knows that they only have 15 minutes, so he knows that he can gerrymander a little bit, right?
We saw this with a couple years back when, was it Grobe took over for Baylor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grobe.
And everybody was like, oh, what's going to happen here in this presser? And he gets up and he turns every question into an opportunity to just tell stories about his time in football and the things he's seen in football and just droning on and eating up time. And
aw, shucks.
It's clever. It's clever. That's why we call him Mensa Tom.
That's right.
Jay Wells, anything for you?
The first thing that stood out to me was the fact that I think Tom Herman refuses to refer to specialists by their name. You know, the first question was about how do you replace the punter Michael Dixon, the All-American, who's with the Seattle Seahawks right now, you know, one of the best punters probably college football's ever seen. Well, you sign his cousin. And so and more that he had talked about it, he's like, you know, that punter is going to be pretty good. So it looks like, you know, Herman has a thing against, you know, mentioning their names. And that's kind of funny, and it's all in good. I mean, I think if you'd ask Dixon off the air, he'd probably tell you it'd be okay to mention his name. But that's something that stood out. It seems like Herman has fun with that. You know, he enjoys that. He's 100% guy in everything, and the players will tell you that, and the guys that work with him will tell you that. David Beatty, talked to him yesterday, the Kansas coach, and he said, you know, Herman is an all-or-nothing guy. You get 100% of him. And so just from this morning, just seeing him, he looks a little more comfortable. This is his second year. And, you know, it's not the newness is gone. And of course, referring to his new punter as the punter. I guess it could be the punter to the sequel. But the funniest thing was he basically filibustered the first 10 minutes of it. And that's just because Tom is two steps ahead of a lot of people. And like Ian said, they call him Mensa Tom for a reason. And so it's going to be really fun here in the next few hours to get in front of him in the podium and really get him on some questions on some scheme fits, some freshman fits, and what he expects out of this team in 2018. Mm-hmm.
Last thing for me, guys. I just wanted to ask one question on defense. I'll start with you, Ian, because you have the technical savvy. It seems for me, as somebody who has watched this Longhorn football team for my entire life, seeing what they were able to do on defense last year, that there may be a little bit of a struggle for this defense in terms of stopping the run between the tackles because of some of the talent that they lost. Puna Ford, Malik Jefferson, also Deshaun Elliott. Do you foresee that as potentially being an issue for this Texas defense?
It's really hard to tell, honestly. Orlando has always made his reputation by stopping the run and then bringing crazy blitzes that destroy protections on third down. Stopping the run in the Big 12 is just a different ball game than in other leagues because it's so attached to the pass game. Early on in the year, it seemed like they were struggling a little bit with that. It's hard to know how much of that was new guys in a new scheme with bad habits versus schematic issues. I think that they will make sure that they commit what they need to commit to stop the run if it's an issue this year. Last year, they ended up going into a more of a, we're going to stop the pass and then let Malik and Puna clean up anything else. That showed a good awareness of what the defending the Big 12 is about, and it also showed a good awareness of playing to their strengths, their personnel.
So
there's good reason to be optimistic that they will figure out a formula that is effective.
Okay, how about you, Justin?
Well, you have some coaches, and I've had a handful of college coaches tell me this. You have some coaches that are stuck with their system, and whatever the players are, this is the system we're going to run. They're almost stubborn to a fault. Todd Orlando is the polar opposite. He's on the other side of the spectrum. He's going to fit the players to the scheme, and that's exactly kind of what Ewan said a lot better than I would. Orlando's whatever it's going to take. He's going to fit. He's going to move and match. He's going to move people around. He's going to Brecken Hager's a great example. You know, they're going to have his hand on the ground a lot of the time now. They're going to utilize him in the best possible way. Chris Nelson coming back is huge. And we got to talk about Taquan Graham. This is a guy that's the best 285 I've ever seen looking. A sophomore out of Temple. He's going to be a good contributor, a guy that, you know, you want fresh bodies coming in off that D-line, especially when you're trying to stop the run. And so I think Taquan Graham is a guy to really look at, a court from the D-line and stopping the run. But mainly it's Todd Orlando's ability to improv and to fit those players to the scheme and to make sure, you know, he's not stubborn, make sure, you know, Gary Johnson's the gap shooter and make sure that Anthony Wheeler plays the Mac, you know, the way the mic the way it should, and you know, the utilization of Rover and things of that sort. And so if you believe in Todd Orlando and what he did last year, which is, you know, his reputation stands for itself, I really do think that that's exactly what you should expect.
Guys, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Inside Texas is where you can read their great work. You can also hear Justin Wells on this show every Wednesday at noon. We're still going to do that tomorrow, right?
Well, yes, sir.
Okay.
It's highlight of my week, man. I'm just making sure we can't have that canceled.
That's what I was hoping.
Come on.
Guys, thank you so much for the time. Ian Boyd, Justin Wells.
Go get some
really
food,
appreciate
man.
It. Go get some food
they just
now.
Put the buffet out. It's time to eat, boys. Great stuff.
Nothing but love, gentlemen.
Likewise.